Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Seeking the I Am Radio with your host, Joe
and Cheryl. We proclaim John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Good afternoon, everyone. I just wanted to say thank you to anybody and everybody that has prayed for my throat to heal up, because it's definitely gotten there. And I praise Jesus for his healing power. I would like to also ask your forgiveness for the soundtrack that we had on our last program. We kept getting messages that the audio was being interfered with, and they were trying to get it straight. But after listening to it, I could tell how much so it was getting affected. Between that and my voice, with a sore throat. Also, I would like to explain that we are changing our time to 1:30 in the afternoon on Wednesdays and Fridays. We found that trying to do it at lunchtime made it kind of inconvenient. And so from here on, we will try to schedule it for 1:30 in the afternoon. And now let's go to prayer. Dear Heavenly Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for each and everything that you do for us each and every day. We praise you, we give you honor and glory, and we just would like to know that everyone is getting your word in them so that they might gain salvation if they don't know or haven't already. So, Lord, help us to reach out. Each and every one of us has a part to do. Help us reach out and tell someone else about you and what you've done for us, that they might receive you in their heart and learn to love what you do. Because you are a good God, an awesome God, and we just praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we want to talk about the Holy Spirit. We've went over God's part and Jesus, and we want to get into the Holy Spirit side of it. And we learn that God is spirit, he is holy, and his holiness is his breath, which is the spirit. The name for it in Hebrew was ruach, which means God's breath or God's wind, and in Latin, it means pneumo, which is his breath. The Holy Spirit is God's active force. He's the helper. He's God's breath. And remember that God is the breath of life. The Holy Spirit is described as a divine power. The Holy Spirit can act upon you, and it can also act within you. It can go anywhere it wants to go, like the wind. The wind is invisible, but you do feel it. The wind, you also hear. It's all part of God, and I'd like to show you through the biblical scriptures that God is telling us who the Holy Spirit is in him and in Jesus. It's an attribute of God's personality, self-consciousness, and freedom. And we'll learn about that in 1 Corinthians 2:10 and 1 Corinthians 12:11. But for now, let's go to Genesis 1:2. Would you like to read that, Joseph?
Yes, in Genesis 1:2 it says, "And the earth was out form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters."
Okay, whose spirit moved?
God's spirit moved.
God's spirit. So that shows you God's spirit was there from the very beginning, that it moved upon the water. I know in some Bibles it says that it hovered over the waters. Also, I've heard that it, in some it says it brooded over the waters. And much like an eagle that broods over their nest, when it gets into the description of brooding, it's like an eagle that broods over its nest until the nest, until the young are put out of the nest. Then we're going to go over to Genesis 2:7, which talks about Adam. Would you like to read that, Joseph?
Yes. And Lord God, of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, the man became a living soul.
So now we see, you know, that God's breath was breathed into a pile of dust and formed a living soul. So we know God's breath does form a living soul. That spiritual spirit active force of God. Just like when he spoke, he had to use his breath to speak into existence everything living, which he did. That was his spirit also, done in a different form or a different way. Now we're going to go to Deuteronomy 32:11.
"As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, breath them on her wings."
Okay. It's to prove like it was like an eagle, like something protected over the person until the person was ready to go on their own. Let's go to Genesis, maybe not. I've got so many scriptures that I get lost in them sometimes. So we proved through that part how God's breath is creating life, how it's used to perform an active force in people and on people. It can go in you. It can rest on you. All through the Old Testament, it's talked about as resting on the people of God. That's because they weren't able to receive it inside because of Jesus not dying on the cross yet. Once Jesus died on the cross, then you were able to receive that spirit within you. If we go to Numbers 11:17, we'll see that the Spirit strives with mankind and instructs and regenerates, sanctifies, and comforts believers.
Yes, Numbers 11:17.
Hold on just a moment. We have a temporary setback.
Yes, Numbers 11:17 says, "And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone."
Okay, we're going to move from here over to the book of John. Okay, John 1:1-3 is where we're going. And I'll give you a minute to find it if you have your Bibles ready.
John
1:1-3.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made.
So we see that the Word of God was God. And He was in the beginning, and He made everything that was made. That's the Spirit's active force right there. He was the Word. He breathed His Word. He spoke His Word. And a lot of different kinds of things happened, didn't they? The earth was created. Life was given. Let's go to John 4:24.
John 4:24, it says, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth.
So we need to know the truth of the Spirit's act in life. We need to know who the Spirit really is, where it comes from, and that we're supposed to see the Spirit as the truth. I mean, God's voice, God's breath would be the truth. He is the force of life. So the Spirit strives with mankind to regenerate him, sanctify him, comfort him. If you turn to John 3:5-6, you'll see a little more of this.
Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again.
And go to John 14:16-17. We're going to go through scriptures today and show you where they're at least for you to go over yourself.
14:16-17.
And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, and for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you.
And go to John 16:13-14.
Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine, therefore said I, that He shall take of Mine, and shall show it unto you.
We are 1 Peter 1:2 also says about the Spirit. There is scripture everywhere about His Spirit and what it does and how we receive it by receiving Jesus. 1 Peter 1:2.
Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied.
Okay, one of the things that I wanted to point out was that when Jesus breathed, living soul made from dust. When he hovered over Mary, it was the Holy Spirit that hovered over Mary. And as it hovered, she was also talked to by an angel about the birth of Jesus. But that breath of life became a part of her. She worshiped God very strongly and was pure and was a virgin. And due to her bloodline, if you trace it down the line, she was the only woman possible that could have had Jesus as her son.
Yes, cousin. Luke 1:35 says, and the angel answered unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.
Go up a little further to 1:26.
And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of solution this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And then 35 says, And the angel answered unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.
I'll go down to 42.
Okay. All right, 42 says, And she spake with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb.
And go over to Luke 3:21. We'll start with 3, 4, 5, and 6.
3:21, right?
Start at 4, 5, and 6.
I'm at 3 right now. Chapter 3.
Well, never mind. That was John. I'm sorry. Luke 3:21.
Alrighty. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus, also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in the bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased.
Okay, so the Spirit that Jesus, you know, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit was hovering over Mary, it came into Mary and became a human living soul. Different from Adam, because Adam was from the dust of the ground, and the air, God's breath was breathed into his nostrils. With Mary, the Spirit hovered over her and created a Son created a flesh human being, made from a woman, born of a woman, and full of God's Spirit. That is how Jesus was created, which made him different than what Adam had been. And you hear many teachings on the first Adam, and the second Adam was supposed to be Jesus to counteract the first Adam. So, but there's a difference in the spiritual side of it, of how the Spirit dwelt in Jesus and was the Son of God, different than Adam. We're going to go to a short commercial, or I call it a commercial, a short intermission, and we shall be right back.
Hello, this is Joe, and I'm one of your hosts at Seeking the I Am radio program, and I'm here to tell you all about the Seeking I Am Ministries. Seeking I Am Ministries is the place to hear all about the gospel, today's headlines, and how they are correlated with biblical prophecy. Make sure to check out our information about our radio program and upcoming showtimes at our website at www.seekingiamministries.wix.com/seekingiam. Also, check out every single podcast right from the beginning of our show so you won't miss any information we talk about. The website again is www.seekingiamministries.wix.com/seekingiam.
Not afraid. Death, where is your sting? Hell.
Okay, we're back. We want to go into the fact of Jesus' baptism. Jesus, of course, was sinless. He was pure. He really didn't need to be baptized by John for repentance, but he did want to set the example for us. So when he was baptized, one part of it was so that the Holy Spirit, because of his obedience, to do this act to show us, the Holy Spirit appeared as a dove, and it wasn't really a dove, but it was that Spirit lighting on him, anointing him for his ministry coming up. And a voice from heaven called out. And Joseph, will you read that?
What? Jesus' baptism.
Sorry. We'll be right with you. Yes. The divine power of God rested on Jesus and activated, like we've talked about, that the Holy Spirit is like an active force. It activated not only inside of him, but the outside of him to be anointed to carry on his ministry. And that was probably one of the first acts of obedience that Jesus performed. And he did it for us so that we would know how to do it also, as an example.
All right, when it talks about Jesus' baptism, it says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am very well pleased."
Okay. Now, that gets that kind of straightened out. The Holy Spirit is the personality of God's divine nature and breath. He can fill a person or be upon a person or pour out upon other people. If you look at Acts 2:4, it'll talk about some of that, and also about our baptism.
Acts 2:4 says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance."
This was when they went into the upper room. Let me read, before that, I want to read about what Jesus did to his disciples before his ascension back up into heaven to be with his Father. And it's in John 20, 22. We also have a phone number that if you would like to call in or ask any questions or ask for prayer, call 347-850-1136. Did you find it?
And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained."
Now notice that Jesus breathed his breath. Just like God breathed his breath to form him, he imparted or breathed his spirit on his disciples. Due to the fact that he hadn't quite ascended yet, he gave them power to rest upon them But until he ascended into heaven, it couldn't be totally activated. So we see, if we go to read Acts 1 through 9, and then we're going to go to Acts 2, 32 through 38.
Acts
1. Yeah, Acts 1,
yeah,
1 through 9.
Okay.
The former trustee have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he has taken up. After that, he though the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanding them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, ye have heard of me, toward heaven. And he went up, and behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Right? Yeah, which then? Oh, okay, lost my place. Sorry, guys. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight.
So like Jesus became anointed with that Holy Spirit that God placed in him, so did the disciples, so that they could carry on their mission. And so do we. When we receive Jesus into our life, we receive that imparting of his Holy Spirit. And we also receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit when it comes upon us. So when we put our faith into action and become obedient to God, he can breathe his breath of life onto us and anoint us for certain things that he has in our life to do for him. So we should really be carrying that anointing all the time. But I think first you have to become familiar with what that is. That means that he lives inside of you. He also dwells around you. So he is always with you. He surrounds you. He envelopes you, and you share in his glory. We are only made righteous, sinless, pure, holy through him. And as we see, the Holy Spirit is a part of him. And Jesus is the one that imparted it to us. So it was through Jesus, by God, that we have his Spirit living in us. And through your acceptance and understanding of who he is, and that you receive him as Lord and Savior, and as Lord and God. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 2:10. And do you want to read that, Joseph?
But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God.
So we see that the Spirit searches all things so that he can bring to attention and be your helper, and also to set us free of things, give us a consciousness about things that we need to be conscious about. develop our personality, give us his gifts, because the Holy Spirit of God has many gifts to give, which also should be 1 Corinthians. Hold on just a moment. 1 Corinthians 12:11. Let's go to that. Also, if you want to go to, I found this interesting, chapter 2, and start with, verse 7. This is about God's wisdom, which comes from the Spirit. It says, "No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit." So when you receive the Holy Spirit, God starts revealing to you many things that you would never know. And it's only because the Spirit shows you, and it's not coming from yourself. And you have become a new creation in Christ Jesus, so that all things become new. Your mind, your heart, your body, everything. We're told that we should not grieve or resist or quench the Holy Spirit. And we'll find some of this in Matthew 12:31-32, Acts 7:51. I'm going to have Joseph read one, I'll take the other. Matthew 12:31-32 is the first one. Acts 7:51 is the next one.
Yes, Matthew 31-32. "Wherever I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven." Now, when this What this is talking about is when it's blaspheming the Holy Spirit, it means a total rejection of Christ's free gift that he's given us. It doesn't mean anything you say against it is going to, you know, it's bad. You shouldn't do that anyway. But you can be forgiven, and that doesn't give you a license to sin. However, this is talking about it, when you hear the gospel and you totally reject Christ's gift of salvation is the only way that you cannot be forgiven. And let's continue. "And whoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man shall be forgiven unto him, but whoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto him, neither in this world or the world to come." Go ahead, Cheryl.
Okay, I found something else on my way to this. If you go to Acts chapter 5, say 32. It says, "We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." So as you can see, you don't just get the Holy Spirit by doing nothing. You have to obey him and receive him in order to have him indwell in you. I just wanted to point that out. Now I'm going to go to Acts, 7:51. And I am turning pages here, so bear with me. You can't have all these scriptures without flipping around in your Bible.
Yes, Acts 7:51 says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do you."
So he's telling you there, back in the Old Testament time, the fathers of these people kept resisting, you know, and you find it in yourself. Before you really receive the Holy Spirit, you'll find that you hear things and you listen to a few things, but you're not really taking it very seriously, that you really need to know God, that you really need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But that spirit in you will keep touching you and giving you a conscience about it. And then it's up to you, because you are the one that has the choice. He is not going to force you. If you find that it keeps being brought to you, if you find that you keep hearing it over and over about receiving the Lord as your Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to listen up, because that is the work of the Holy Spirit trying to prompt you to receive that Spirit before it's too late. If Jesus were to come today and take us out of here or judge you for what you've done, would you be in the light with him? Would you have received the Holy Spirit and be made clean in him and have no sin against you? Or would you be in the darkness yet, never receiving him as Lord and Savior, and being judged by the law, which is death? That's something you have to ask yourself. And it's something that's very important to your life, or death. So please take the time to talk to God. Take the time to look in the Bible and ask him to come into your life. Take the time to just communicate with him. The thing that we're trying to make known, even as choppy as it might seem, being this is our third time, is that God loves you. He's the one that can save you. He's the one that can give you all the tools you need for a good life. And he's given us a manual of his words so that we can check it out for ourselves and make the decision to serve him or not. But he is the God over all. And he is the God that will judge you in the end. He's not a judgmental God by nature. He doesn't want to lose anyone. That's why he paid the price on that cross, because he wants to save you from yourself. So take it into account. I'm sure everybody in this world, really, if they really give way to their hearts, really want to be loved. And he loves you more than you'll ever get love from anything or anyone. Let's go now to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30.
4:30.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so we're going to check out more and more of what it says about the Spirit.
Ephesians 4:30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." And I'm going to go on. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you."
And notice it talks about being sealed. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are sealed with that Holy Spirit as a sign that you have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And that lasts with you. He says he won't let Satan snatch you back out of his hand. Well, as long as you keep working with the Spirit, that'll never be, because you are sealed. So many people teach it and make you believe that you're going to lose it any second and get people all in fear. And that's not the truth. So I just want to make that known. The only way that that would happen is if you turn around after knowing the truth, reject God, and walk away from him and never come back. Is someone out there that would like to speak?
Area code
734-777-2798. You're live on air. Hello? Okay, I take it that we're not connected or you're away from your phone maybe. Okay, we'll get back with you. All right. You want to take a little break for a second?
Yeah, we'll take 1 minute.
All right, we'll take a little short break and be right back with you. Give you time to study. Okay, we're back. we're going to go over a few things. Would you like to explain a little bit deeper of why that Jesus was baptized, Joseph?
He was, you know, for several reasons was fitting, but it was the embark on his great work, appropriate that he was recognized publicly, you know, by this. It also showed that he identified with sinners. His baptism symbolized the sinner's baptism into righteousness of Christ by dying with him and rising free from sin and able to walk in the newness of life. This would fulfill all the requirements of the law for sinners who could never hope to do so on their own. When John the Baptist hesitated to baptize the sinless Son of God, Jesus replied in Matthew 3:15, it says, to fulfill all righteousness. By this, he alluded to the righteousness that he provides to all who come to him in exchange their sin for righteousness. He also showed his approval of John's baptism by bearing witness to it. You know, perhaps most importantly, the occasion of public baptism was recorded for all generations to come to the perfect embodiment of the triune God revealed in glory from heaven. You know, with Jesus' baptism, it's basically a big symbol of he was the example of what to do. And by him doing that, it gave us the example that we can, you know, whatever we could do, we couldn't fulfill the law. And he made a way for us. And what a great testimony that is for the people that actually witnessed it firsthand. But we praise God for that. And, you know.
Okay. Turn with me to Isaiah. Start in 9. 6 and 7. This is a prophecy about Jesus' coming and what names or what references he would be referred to as. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The seal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
So you see that when Jesus was walking, he was still under the law. But Jesus preached about his kingdom, which really was about his government. And there still is a kingdom government that is among the church. And the church needs to start studying what that government consists of, which really is because he's the head. That's deferring a little bit away from the Holy Spirit, but he is the Holy Spirit. And if it wasn't by his mercy or his grace and undeserved favor, we wouldn't be receiving it. Ephesians 4, 7 says, but to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That's why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. So he gave spiritual gifts. And it was all through the Holy Spirit that he placed in them and around them. And he gave them that to operate here on earth, to bring heaven to earth, to operate through the things that he spoke in his word. If you go to Isaiah, let me see here. I'm looking. I just had it. Isaiah 11. 1 and 2. This was a promise of God.
And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity. And for the meek of the earth, he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked.
And Jesus promised the same thing to his disciples in John 14:16. He promises the same comforter, which in Greek is para, which means alongside of, and kaleo, to call, which brought together means to have someone called alongside of another. Jesus was making it clear to them that the Holy Spirit would take his place and walk with them in all the work that they would be called to do. Everything works for God's purpose, and the Holy Spirit is given to the ones who will be obedient, who will reach out and ask him into their life. And what are you saying? We just want to tell you today that we love you. We're going to end here. We'll continue with this on Friday. Remember, the new time is 1:30. We just give praise and glory to you, Lord Jesus. And we'll close and say goodbye.
Yes, we'll end this show with a prayer. Sorry, one, bow your head. Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you said in your word, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord. And Lord, we ask that we just have the strength to just ask one person, are they saved? And to get them saved, to make disciples of all men. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this electronic church, Lord. We thank you for everything you've done for us and in our lives. And we thank you for a great program today, Lord. And we give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray for the forgiveness of our sins. Amen.
Amen.
So remember, come visit us on our website at www.seekingiamministries.wix.com/seekingiam. And don't forget to check out our podcast on our website. And we will leave you, and we'll see you back here on Friday at 1:30. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's program. If you're seeking a place to be taught biblical truth and people of faith or a home church, you're welcome to visit Jesus is Lord Ministries in Adrian, Michigan, 3000 West Beecher Road, Adrian, Michigan, 49221, on 10 a.m. Sundays and 7 p.m. Wednesdays. Don't forget to come and listen to us.
We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the